Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Transmitting worldwide from the Summit.News studios in the United Kingdom, you are listening to Paul Joseph Watson.
So we have the claims and counterclaims of atrocities in Burka, reports of mass graves. Of course, I flashed back to this. I talked about it at the start of the show. We had exactly the same claims during and after the invasion of Iraq in 2003-2004. Does that mean that there isn't a mass grave in Burka? Does that mean that the Russians didn't slaughter 400 people, execution style, leave them on the streets? No. But it means you have to analyze claims which are clearly motivated by Ukraine's desire to see more military involvement by NATO powers, a no-fly zone, and an escalation of the war. You can't just let it slip by completely unchallenged. We're supposed to have a media for a reason. They're supposed to ask those questions. Of course, as you've seen from Biden's press conferences, they do the exact opposite. It was like during the COVID press briefings, both in the United States and in the United Kingdom, where they never questioned whether lockdown was the right method to take, despite the fact that we now, in the aftermath of it, all have huge studies, the Johns Hopkins study and others, proving that it was a completely wrong decision to take, that they were on the wrong side of history. It caused more harm than it did good. Unhealthy people and failing to go for herd immunity, as we now see in China, with that blowing up in their faces. The journalists were supposed to be there to say, why are you locking down? How can you justify this massive impingement on human freedoms in generations? They did the exact opposite. They said, why aren't you locking down harder? Why don't you weld us inside our homes like they do in China? And they're doing the exact same thing once again, because there is no truly impartial media left anymore. The fact checkers as well, the Ministry of Truth, only fact check one side of the equation. The innumerable hoaxes and staged events that have admittedly occurred during this war, Snake Island, the ghost of Kiev, the mobile crematoriums that weren't there, the so-called attack on the Holocaust Memorial in Kiev that didn't happen. Jewish Israeli journalists literally went there the day after and said it was completely unscathed. Zero fact checks on any of that from any of the Ministry of Truth fact checkers. And again, there'll be zero inquiry into this. But I flash back again to the Iraq war. Again, not saying there isn't a mass grave, not saying that both sides aren't committing atrocities. I'm saying you have to ask basic questions when there's such a devastatingly risky motive involved. PM admits Graves' claim untrue.
Fruit grow French wine and fruit growers are doing what they can to combat the coldest day in April in years.
French winemakers are lighting heat fires.
Saying
that
Saddam Hussein could attack the United Kingdom with WMD within 45 minutes. Again, completely made up nonsense. All that came out after. When the first casualty of war is truth, you have to ask basic questions. Pedro Gonzalez tweets, Zelensky lied about Snake Island, no one died, lied about terrorism at Chernobyl, lied about Baba Yar, which is the Holocaust memorial attack, confirmed by Israeli journalist on site. His Burka comment should make us more skeptical of Ukraine's claims. Now, of course, we flash back to the Ghouta chemical attack in Syria, alleged attack carried out by Bashar al-Assad back in August 2013, used again to increase the drumbeat for war, very nearly almost justified or greased the skids for U.S. military boots on the ground in Syria. Turns out it wasn't carried out by Bashar al-Assad's forces. It was carried out by the Western-backed jihadist rebels report by MIT found that it was impossible for Assad to have carried out that attack, but that report only emerged the year after. So these claims have to be investigated, and many times they turn out to be fake. The narrative is entirely wrong. We'll be back. Don't go away.
In December of 2021, InfoWars offered the first in a three-part series, the 1776 Anti-Tyrant Coin, and it sold out in 10 days. And if it wasn't for listeners getting this original, powerful coin, a founding member coin, we would not be on air today. Now, the second coin, the Liberty Tree coin, is being offered, and it will probably sell out in 10 days again. It certainly needs to, if under operation. It is so historic, and it has a quote from Thomas Jefferson about the Tree of Liberty being refreshed with the blood of patriots and tyrants and more. See the coin for yourself at 1776coin.com. It's also at InfoWarsStore.com. It's amazing. There's only 10,000 of them, and as a founding member, if we're able to stay on the air, we're planning something very, very special for everyone that helps us go to the next level. So get your new Tree of Liberty coin while you still can at 1776coin.com.
Live from the Summit.News headquarters, it's Paul Joseph Watson.
We are back, and we're going to continue to talk about these alleged atrocities, because you will get no inquiry, skepticism, or new ones from the mainstream legacy media whatsoever. They've simply seized upon them and said, finally, we have a justification for a no-fly zone, for an escalation. For, as one MSNBC guest called for, as we played the clip in the last segment, American boots on the ground in Ukraine, because that's gone so well before in the past 60 years, hasn't it? So again, we're doing the job that the mainstream media refuses to do. We're not saying that atrocities aren't happening. We're not saying there isn't a mass grave in Bucha. We're saying basically we need to get some independent verification and try to deduce exactly what happened and who is responsible. And to do that, I'm going to be joined by my guest now, who is Michael de la Brocq. He has an excellent Telegram channel, which everyone needs to follow, for in-depth, intense updates on the ground situation in Ukraine. It is Buhanka Watch. You can search for that, or you can just search for Michael de la Brocq on Telegram and follow that channel for the very latest. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, Paul. Just check. I'm coming through okay. Yep.
Yep, loud and clear. Now, I want to ask you about this alleged atrocity. They say 410 dead bodies found, hands tied behind their backs, shot execution style. There's been absolutely no challenge to this narrative from the mainstream media. They said they were handed the videos by Zelensky's government. There were reports that they were filmed by Ukrainian troops. Again, we have reports that the mayor in that town came out 2 days before these videos emerged and said the town was liberated, all the Russians have left. He made no mention of these atrocities. Again, not to say that they didn't happen, but we have to analyze the timeline here. Moscow has obviously come out and said that it was staged by the Ukrainians. They say that about everything. From what you've seen, from the sources that you follow there on the ground, what's the best guess as to what actually happened there and who was responsible?
Yeah, so to sort of round off what appears to have happened in the Bucha area and in the Hostomel area is obviously the allegation from the Western media propping up from the Ukrainian government sources is that the Russians have essentially engaged in a mass murder, a massacre of the local civilian population. I am a bit skeptical of that on a number of grounds, because just looking at some of the footage that have emerged of the event, of the alleged event, is that it looks to be separate incidents. Some of the bodies, from what I can see in some of the footage, seems to have been there for at least a couple of weeks. Some of them appear to be fairly fresh, which is what is the main thing propping up the allegations that the Russians are alleged to have just killed everyone as did Aftertown. And then there is this quote-unquote mass grave. So the Bukhara massacre, as such, it's packaged as a singular event, but it doesn't actually appear to have been that. It seems to have been different incidents. In terms of the timeline, I had a look through the various footage. For people who aren't aware, who aren't in my Telegram group, I share footage from the sources, from Ukrainian and Russian sources as it emerges onto the Telegram so people can follow it in real time. And I had a look at the timeline from whenever it appeared that the Russian army was starting to withdraw from the northeast of Kiev. So from what I could gather from looking back on it, it appears most Russian forces, if not all of them, had left around about the 30th of March. There was then some civilian drone footage of Hostomel Airport, which is actually north of Bukha. The airport, for people who aren't aware, Hostomel Airport, that was the base area of Russian offensive operations in the northeast of Kiev. So this drone footage that emerged, that appears to have been taken around about the 30th, potentially the 31st, it showed the airport was completely abandoned. It was probably not the best turn of phrase, but it was dead, for lack of a better term. So the Russians had vacated the area around that date. Around the 1st, there was some footage that emerged 30 miles north of some fighting in a town called Ivankov, which appears to have been the rear echelons of the Russian army leaving. But then there appears to have been a bit of a lull. It was around about the 2nd. Of April is whenever the first significant amounts of footage started to emerge of Ukrainian soldiers in the Bukha and in the Hostomel area. And I did a sort of a deep dive through my Telegram and through some of the sources. And there was one instance where they reported on civilian casualties, but they didn't make a strong claim one other way. So given some of the footage that has emerged yesterday, because yesterday is whenever these claims, the massacre claims, emerged in large numbers, it would be strange, and it is puzzling to me, that Ukrainian soldiers didn't come across bodies lying in the street in some of the footage that they are purporting that illustrates or displays that this massacre had occurred. So there appears to be around about a 3-4 day period between when the Russians had left the area. The area was, and then officially Ukrainian troops had entered. So though in that short space of days, there doesn't appear to have been any forces on either side officially within Hostomel or in the Bukha area. So there is a possibility that maybe some Ukrainian troops, maybe this false flag narrative, maybe that's where that could have emerged, because as I was elucidating a bit earlier on, the Bukha massacre, quote unquote, is not a singular event. It is separate events. One thing that is puzzling to me is that some of the dead that have appeared in some of the videos are actually wearing a white ribbon on their arm, which would be very strange if the Russians had shot these people, because for people who aren't aware, white ribbons on the arms of Russian soldiers, especially in the northern front, that is the identification mark for Russian troops. So if there are civilians wearing white ribbons, that is curious. Could these have potentially have been more pro-Russian civilians, quote-unquote collaborators, who might have been left behind by the Russian pullout, because the Russian pullout appeared to have been quite chaotic and quite sudden, and then maybe some Ukrainian forces or national battalion moved into the area, came across these civilians and essentially dealt with them in the summer, just there and then. That could be something that needs to be investigated, but as you were saying earlier on in the show, is that all the footage that we are largely getting is footage that is approved by the Ukrainian government and the Ukrainian army. It is footage that is filmed and edited by Western media, or it is supplied by the Ukrainian army, and as we both know, they aren't exactly the most unbiased sources. That is not to say that Russian troops haven't engaged in potentially some criminality or horrific events. I am minded to believe in some instances, particularly in some of these apparent executions in basements, that because of the age of the bodies, that those were more likely to potentially have been some incidents of Russians engaging in that. But in terms of the most popularized footage of the event, there is a number of questions that need to be asked. And the big thing to me that sort of raises a lot of questions is discrepancy in time. What happened in those 3 or 4 days between the Russian pullout and Ukrainian forces officially went in force? And why are these civilians seemingly wearing white armbands, which is quite identifiable as an identification mark for the Russian army and pro-Russian potentially pro-Russian civilians?
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned that this could have been a longer drawn out situation where you have obviously a lot of people killed due to the fighting in that area. We did have the report about mass graves. So this was March 10th. Alex Salvi on Twitter says the first signs of the excavation were seen on March 10th. More recent coverage on March 31st shows the gravesite with an approximately 45-foot long trench. So they, if this is true, they had mass graves on March 10th, so they already had a great volume of dead bodies to have to create mass graves on March 10th. So then, presumably, there would be enough bodies killed by whichever side to then lay out on the street and claim that a new Srebrenica had occurred, a new massacre, to then blame it on the Russians. It seems entirely possible, given what we've seen, you know, regarding all these other staged incidents in the past. But we're going to come back on the other side and talk about it more with Michael Delabrocque. He is on Telegram. Go look him up. We'll be back on the other.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Stock market have you nervous? With geopolitical conflict and inflation concerns, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you don't have to. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word DEMO to 813813 and discover how to predict stock market trends up to 3 days ahead with incredible accuracy. Whether you trade stocks, options, forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text DEMO to 813813 to get what you need to stay ahead of the markets and find big moves before they happen. Don't wait. Text DEMO to 813813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of VantagePoint. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Broadcasting internationally from the Summit.News headquarters in the United Kingdom, it's Paul Joseph Watson.
We are live and we are talking with Michael de la Brocque, Vuhanka Watch on Telegram. Go and follow his channel, following on the source material footage from both sides of the war, Ukraine and Russian, to try and get to the bottom of what is actually happening. This is not a Daily Mail front page where it's basically just 100% propaganda all the time. It's not RT, it's not Sputnik. It's trying to ascertain the truth as gleaned from sources right there on the ground. We're talking about the alleged massacre in Bucha, which the war party, the journalists are lobbying for a no-fly zone for American boots on the ground. They're comparing it to the Srebrenica massacre of 1995. And they're asking absolutely zero hard-hitting questions about it whatsoever. They're just being handed footage by Ukrainian government and saying, here it is, this happened, this is horrific, we need war. But it's interesting, Michael, that the Ukrainian National Police posted on Facebook on 2nd of April, hours before these videos emerged, quote, today on 2nd of April in the liberated city of Bucha, special units of the Ukrainian National Police began clearing the area of saboteurs and accomplices of Russian troops. Were those saboteurs later the dead bodies that ended up on camera? We also have claims by Russians with Attitude on Twitter, which is obviously pro-Russian bias, but they say the Azov battalion was in that area. I know you said to me before it doesn't operate in that area, but we had an alleged video from an Azov battalion member saying the boatsman boys in Bucha, and he says at the 6 second mark, you can clearly hear the dialogue, there are guys without blue armbands, can I shoot them? F yeah. And you mentioned that before where numbers of the victims were wearing white armbands, which would normally denote that they were either pro-Russian saboteurs, as the Ukrainians would call them, or Russian troops. So is there any evidence that Azov battalion was involved in this massacre?
Not that I have seen so far, but that's not to rule out the possibility of it. Just to clarify, I am aware, I've been made aware that there does appear to be a small unit of Azov battalion fighters operating in the Kiev area. But in general, Azov is, most of its fighters are deployed in Kharkov, or they're currently in the process of being destroyed in Mariupol. So that was where there was a bit of a contention with myself earlier on. But there are nationalist battalions, sort of other battalions, National Guard-like battalions in the Ukrainian armed forces like Azov that have been operating extensively within the Kiev battle zone. So the Adair battalion, I'm aware that they potentially more to the east of Kiev, but they've also been operating to the northwest in the Bucha, the Irpin battlefront as well over the past month. So the problem is you cannot really ascertain this stuff unless these people film it at this stage, until there is a independent forensic investigation of the bodies and of the scene, unless these people are idiotic enough, and in some cases the Azov Battalion in particular has been rather foolish enough to film themselves engaging in various atrocities and war crimes on their own, it is hard to properly ascertain who could have committed these offences. So if you will indulge me just for a second, just as I go back to something you said just before the break, you mentioned war crime, mass graves, and if I could just quickly touch on that, because mass graves is obviously quite an emotive term that's being thrown around a lot, but the one thing to sort of understand, although each of the bodies will have to be examined that comes out of that grave, is that whenever the Russians moved into the area at the start of the war, it was a very chaotic and very... the fighting was very heavy in the area, so that would assume that there was probably potentially a fair number of civilian casualties, as well as Ukrainian casualties and Russian casualties themselves. Obviously, the Russians will be more minded to take the dead back home via Belarus into Russia, but in terms of the local civilians who were killed in this fighting, because of the very nature of a battlefield, it is not the most hygienic thing to leave bodies just lying out in the open over weeks and potentially a month, because that spreads disease amongst local troops. So one explanation, I'm not saying it is the explanation, but one hypothesis behind this mass grave, and the date, as you said, it apparently appeared around the 10th of March. That's whenever the Russians would have established themselves within the area. It very well, a lot of those bodies could actually have turned out to have been civilians that were killed in the fighting within the area, and then the Russians themselves moved them for hygienic purposes into that mass grave. But just also, just to quickly touch it, as it appeared on the screen, that unfortunate gentleman who's in that sewer grate, from my understanding, this is one instance where it does actually appear very strongly the Russians did potentially kill that individual and his family, because from my understanding from the footage I've seen, that man was the husband of the mayor of a small village to the east of Hostomel called Moshun, and the mayor and the female mayor and her family were reported to essentially being detained by Russian soldiers earlier in March, and obviously their bodies have now appeared in various places across the area. So in that case, that is one case where it does appear that it's more likely than not that maybe the Russians were behind that, but it is obviously it's not conclusive without a proper forensic investigation, and the wider scale of the death that's occurred in the area, I would struggle to make a conclusive decision one way or the other at the moment, and I think without, again, an independent forensic investigation, I think it's very dangerous for Western press to just assume a certain narrative whenever a lot of the facts of that narrative are only coming from one side.
Okay, I just want to touch again on Azov Battalion, because we have this headline out of CNN: a far-right battalion has a key role in Ukraine's resistance. Its neo-Nazi history has been exploited by Putin. We see the New York Times removing the neo-Nazi label and simply calling them far-right now. Of course, Zelensky himself admitted that much of the Azov Battalion was absorbed into the Ukrainian military, and his comments were cut out by Fox News. Have you seen evidence from your sources that you're following there on the ground of Azov committing these kind of atrocities that are going unreported by the mainstream media in the West?
Yes, extensively, particularly in the Mariupol area. There is, in bizarrely kind of a similar fashion, but in reverse of what's happened in Bucha, as various Donetsk, the Donetsk People's Republic, as their army and as the Chechens and the Russians have advanced into Mariupol, there have been a fairly large number of instances where they have actually come across, for lack of a better term, just essentially brutalized and murdered civilians. There was a case of a woman, the body of an unfortunate woman who appeared to have had a swastika burned into her chest. Her body was found by Russian soldiers in an Azov sort of forward operating base that was in the bottom of, in the cellar of a school or a supermarket. There is also cases of civilians that had their hands and their legs binded by cord, and they'd been essentially summarily executed. And I don't know if you're looking to get into this in maybe another segment, but Azov appears to have been involved in some quite visceral and horrific footage of the torture and potential murder of Russian prisoners in the Kharkov area as well.
We'll get into that on the other side, Michael. Stay right there. One more segment. Summit.news. Don't go away.
We are only offering three coins in the series. The first coin was released in December of 2021 and sold out in 10 days. Now, the second coin, as we enter the last days of March into April 2022, is now being offered. And I believe it will sell out in just a few days again because these are historic coins and because our amazing listeners want to support freedom and keep InfoWars at the front lines of the fight against these tyrants. So, go for yourself to 1776coin.com and see the new Liberty Tree coin. It is powerful. Witness this powerful iconography for yourself and have this piece of history and be part of the founding member system that we're set to launch in the very near future thanks to your support of this project. Get a historic memento that helps keep InfoWars on the air and also gives you a real piece of history at 1776coin.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic an insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
From London, England, it's Paul Joseph Watson with Summit.News.
We're live. We're talking to Michael Delabroff of the Bohanka Telegram channel. Go and subscribe to that Telegram channel right now for live breaking footage and analysis from on the ground sources, both pro-Ukrainian and pro-Russian, on the ground there in Ukraine. We were talking before the break about atrocities, the Azov battalion, claims of people being taped to trees, Russian saboteurs. And you were just getting into it there, Michael, a couple of weeks ago now, I believe it was. We had these, and in fact, last weekend it was, we had these horrific videos of what appear to be Russian prisoners of war being unloaded from wagons by Ukrainians, shot in the leg, shot in the knee, abused, left to die in agony. We also had the footage, which was posted to Twitter, of Ukrainian soldiers filming themselves, calling up the mothers of dead Russian soldiers and mocking them. That was very nice. Were these culprits that apparently carried out this war crime atrocity against these prisoners of war ever captured? I know there was a claim that they were captured by Russian special forces, but then that subsequently turned out apparently to not be true. What happened during that incident, which barely got any mainstream media attention, and is there any update as to whether the perpetrators have been caught?
Yeah, so just in preparation for this, I actually had to look back and tried to find some footage of some of the incidents, and they appear to have been completely scrubbed from Telegram, as far as I can tell, which is interesting to note. But for people who haven't seen it, and if you are minded to go and look it up, I have to caution you, it is very graphic footage. But in the hours before the actual video itself dropped, there was footage of essentially Russian soldiers who had been stripped effectively naked or down to their boxers, their underwear, as they had surrendered to some of the patches that you could definitely see in some of this footage were Azov fighters, and this was in the Kharkov area. So at this time as well, this was a week ago, there was, you're talking about round about freezing temperature. That was disturbing in of itself. And then a day later, quite visceral footage emerged of Russian prisoners of war lying down on the ground in rows, obviously bleeding from their knees or from their arms. And then the footage pans to a recently arrived van, and the troops are identifiably Ukrainian. They're wearing Ukrainian marks. They identify themselves as Ukrainian. They look Ukrainian. The prisoners look Russian. And as free Russian prisoners get out of this van, essentially a Ukrainian soldier comes up to them, shoots the arm off of one of the Russian prisoners, and then blows the kneecap off of the other two. And then that was followed up with another short clip shortly after it, where the Russian soldier who had his arm effectively amputated, there was a Ukrainian effectively standing over him, filming him on his phone. And there was no evidence at all in any of the footage that any medical provision was provided to any of these soldiers. So I don't think I need to say that there are major arteries in the legs and in the arms. And if these soldiers weren't, if a tourniquet wasn't applied or proper medical provision was given to these prisoners, it is very likely that many of them probably perished as a result of it. And then added on top of this, perhaps the most graphic footage that I've seen is there was an alleged Russian prisoner. The footage was within a stairwell where a Ukrainian soldier or Ukrainian territorial defense, because there is a difference between the Ukrainian army, the Azov battalion, and territorial defense, but I think this particular individual was territorial defense. The Russian soldier appears to have had one of his fingers physically cut off, and then the footage does show it, and the screaming is quite horrific, but this Ukrainian soldier then proceeds to murder this Russian prisoner by thrusting a knife into his eye. And then that particular Russian soldier, there was then footage emerged later where effectively his body had been burned, but you could still identify from the facial features who it was. So just to quickly address your comments about if these people were actually apprehended, I believe the Russians, some Russian sources did claim that they did apprehend them, but it did turn out in hindsight that they did not. Some of the alleged perpetrators who engaged in these acts actually ended up live streaming themselves and mocking the Russians from a live stream in the Kharkov area. But as you touched on, instances where Ukrainians have actually physically called the families back in Russia to mock Russian dead. I'll not go too far into that because it gets very dark, some of the footage I've seen and some of the instances of it. But some of the Ukrainian soldiers, again, largely Azov battalion from the examples that I've seen, they themselves have actually fallen into Russian captivity, and the Russians knew and know who these people are. If you don't want to be doxxed, essentially do not anger Russian Telegram users, because they seem to be absolute experts at being able to identify and geolocate people, and they've made their personal mission to identify the Ukrainians who are engaged in this. And like I say, some of these people have since fallen into Russian captivity, and the Russians haven't executed them. And it does look like some of them might have been slapped around the face, but the Russians did make a note in the captions that I've seen to film them and say, we know who you are and you will essentially be put on trial for what you've engaged in. And obviously we'll have to see what comes of that for the public and legal record.
Yeah, and I mean, the point is, you know, people will say, oh, they're just Russian invaders, they deserve everything they get. Well, no, we have, like, Geneva Convention for a reason. We have war crimes denunciations for a reason. Even Zelensky himself came out, I think, a couple of days after that video emerged and said, please don't commit war crimes, by the way. So if the Russians were doing that to Ukrainians, if they just unload them from trucks, shoot their arms off, shoot them in the knee, watch them bleed to death in agony, that would be a global outrage. That would be an atrocity. That would be a Putin-sponsored war crime. It would be sustained wall-to-wall media coverage 24/7. This one, I didn't see any, maybe they came out after, but at the time, I didn't see any mainstream media coverage of it whatsoever. I didn't see the fact-checkers trying to get involved. I didn't see anything. But we got a couple of minutes left. I just want to get into the overall wider perspective, because we were told in the West, oh, Russia expected to mop up all these major cities in days. They expected it to be over in a couple of weeks. I never really believed that at the time, but did Russia really expect it to be a kind of blitzkrieg, or were they always, you know, prepared to dig in for a protracted war?
From what I've seen from the way the Russians conducted themselves, the way they initiated the advance, the way they employed conscripts in the start, and the way the VDV, the Russian paratroopers, conducted and landed on hostile airfield, I'm not in the Kremlin, I'm not in Russian command bunkers, so I don't know what they themselves are saying, but I am minded to believe that the Russians did think if they could take Kiev via Hostomel and via Chernobyl from Belarus in the space of maybe about 4 or 5 days, that could have potentially crippled the Ukrainian army, crippled the Ukrainian state, caused so much confusion that over the next 2 or 3 weeks, as the Russian army advances across Ukraine, it would deal piecemeal with scattered and confused Ukrainian resistance. That is kind of where I personally am in thinking about the start of the invasion, but obviously the war hasn't developed in that scale, so I think it's probably more a failure of Russian initial intelligence, battlefield intelligence at the start of the war. But as we can see with the pullout from the north of Kiev, from Chernigov and the Sumy area and redeploying to the Donbass, the Russians are very much in the mindset that this will be a protracted and prolonged war, and they're setting up for that.
Okay, Michael, I'll tell you what, I just got one more question, then I want you to plug your Telegram channel. So we'll come back on the other side and do 3 or 4 more minutes with Michael Dillabrock of the Hanker Watch, and then I'll get into some COVID news on the other side, summit.news. Don't go away.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
You're listening to the Summit.News Radio Hour with Paul Joseph Watson.
You're live, and I'm not going to get a chance to go full into this COVID news, but basically, China has pursued an utterly disastrous zero COVID policy. They've got zero herd immunity in their entire population. They've had more COVID cases in Shanghai over the past 2 weeks or 4 weeks than the entire previous 2 years of the whole pandemic. Now they've sent the army into Shanghai to separate parents from their children in quarantine facilities. They're having to COVID test 26 million people in Shanghai. again, because they went for zero COVID and not herd immunity, which is why they're getting all these cases in comparison to relatively few in the previous 2 years. An utter, utter warning from China as to how to not deal with a pandemic, and they're going to continue paying the price for many months or even years to come. We also have mask wearing has left a generation of toddlers struggling with speech and social skills. I talked about a speech therapist in America seeing, quote, a 364% increase in patient referrals of babies and toddlers who basically can't talk. They're not learning speech skills, social skills. And now this report finds that because adults have been wearing face masks on and off for the past 2 years, children are having struggles identifying speech patterns. Their cognitive development has been completely stunted. They can't put their own coats on, according to this report, in some cases. Toddlers are struggling with crawling, using the toilet independently and making friends. All these symptoms are increasing, and the speech struggles are increasing. They can't learn to talk, partly because of lockdown restrictions, which prevented them socializing with other kids, and partly because adults have been virtue signaling with their face nappies for the past 2 years, and it stunted the cognitive development of children. But keep professing how you're the good people on Twitter. I'm sure you can continue to do so while living in complete arrogance or ignorance of the complete fact that you are responsible for these kids having all these problems, which are only set to get worse. Also, the people who lobbied for school lockdowns are solely responsible for this, and yet they continue to put the mask emoticon in their little Twitter bio alongside their Ukrainian flag and claim that they're the good guys and they were on the right side of history. No, you weren't. You were on the wrong side of history. Now, I'm talking to Michael de Lebrock. We've got a few minutes left, Michael, before I hand back to Owen. I want you to plug your Telegram channel at the end, but final question just in the last few minutes here. What do you see as the most likely outcome of the war? Of course, we've got negotiations ongoing virtually every day at this point, don't seem to come to any conclusion. Do you see some kind of halfway house peace deal, or do you see Russia eventually being forced to retreat entirely with their tails between their legs? Where do you see it going? And then finally tell people how they can find you on Telegram.
Yeah, not a problem. So just it's hard to predict the future, but in general, I expect that this war in some form or another will result in a Russian military victory of sorts, and that will then force Zelensky and the Ukrainian government to accede to most, if not all, of the major Russian demands. I just off the bat, and it's more of a guesstimate, but I'm expecting we're probably looking at a 6 to 9 month war. It's currently mud season in Ukraine. That's going to slow down any offensive operations by the Russians. The Russians have pulled out of the Kiev and Chernigov area. I think this is part of a wider strategy to focus on the Donbass, to advance up from the south of Kharkov and hollow out Ukraine to the east of the Dnieper. And it's a lot of the Ukrainian army has done very well and equipped itself very well against the Russians so far. The terrain that the Russians are currently going to be launching their main offensive through is kind of the terrain that the Russians do the best at. So unless something drastically changes, I do think we will probably eventually see a Russian victory of sorts. And the longer it goes on for, and the Russians feel they have had to pay more in blood and toil to achieve that victory, I expect potentially the Russian demands of Ukraine might increase. So obviously we don't have the time to really go in depth here, but the Russians do appear to have long-term ambitions in Kherson and Zaporozhye in the south of Ukraine, and potentially also Odessa as well. So if the Russians feel that they've paid a large enough price, I wouldn't be surprised if they feel that those parts of Ukraine, those Ukrainian oblasts, might need to become quasi-independent republics like Lugansk in the Donetsk area.
Okay, and just finally tell people how they can find your channel on Telegram.
Yeah, no problem. So if people, in fact, if you just Google my name, it might just come up. But if you go onto Telegram, if you look up Michael de Lebrock, it's kind of a French name, D-E-L-A-B-R-O-C. It should be one of the top results, if not the only result that comes up there. So it's Michael Delabroc, Bohanka Watch, if people are interested. Essentially what I do is I look through various Russian and Ukrainian sources on Telegram, because obviously Telegram is very popular in both countries. Look at the footage that comes out, the various reports that come out. I try to make an assessment of it, post it for people to look at themselves. So you don't just have to follow me. I direct you to the exact Russian and Ukrainian source that the footage comes from. And every now and again, I'll try and give a bit of context and how it fits into the wider picture of what's actually happening in Ukraine, with who, with what, when, where, and how.
Okay, it's a great resource, Michael. Of course, as you know, I follow it. We'll definitely have you back on the show. We're going to leave it there with Michael because Owen is now set to take over the rest of the show. That's it for my segment. Here is back in the studio, Owen Schroyer. Owen, take it away.
Thank you, Paul. And I didn't coordinate with Paul, but what he was talking about early on in the segment goes along with what I wanted to leave my portion of the transmission with today, and we'll pick it back up tomorrow, and that's discussing the torment and the torture that the children have had to go through in the last couple of years dealing with the COVID nonsense and protocols. And this story was in the New Yorker today, headline, "The Mystifying Rise of Child Suicide." The mystifying rise of child suicide. Well, it's really not a mystery, actually. No, sadly, it's not a mystery at all. And if you do a psychological evaluation of suicide or suicide victims, we'll say, what is the cause? What is what drives people to suicide? And it's a very common thread. Sometimes it may have to do with family issue or a financial issue or a personal issue. But every time it's a future, it's a thing of the future where they feel there is no future. The future is bleak for whatever reason. So they just decide, I don't want to go into the future. I'm going to kill myself now. So that brings us back. The mystifying rise of child suicide. Folks, it's not a mystery. Sadly, children are seeing that the future is bleak. And it's not a mystery where this is coming from. And it's the cultural left. It's the political left. That's not up for debate. And you can look at the numbers of suicide rates amongst transgender individuals and say, oh, look, they're pushing them to be transgender. They're pushing them to suicide. Oh, look how the left is destroying America's culture, destroying America's economy, just destroying the future for us. So people are killing themselves. They see all the nonsense. They see all the madness and they think, huh, there's no future here. I'm just going to kill myself. Very sad state of affairs. But let's be clear. There is no mystery. This isn't a partisan politics diatribe here. It's just the fact. The left is destroying the future. Culturally and politically, and it's causing a rise of suicide. And when you look at it in children, who is it that is currently targeting the children for destruction with their sexual agenda and their COVID agenda? It's the left. So it's not a mystifying rise of suicide. We know exactly what's causing this. Just like what's causing most of the other problems. Now, we'll come back to that tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to hand it over to Gerald Celente. I will be hosting tomorrow, but let me just say this. It's I don't say this, oh, woe is me. I'm just telling it like it is. I'm supposed to be on vacation right now. I'm here in studio, going to be here hosting tomorrow. Not complaining. I'm very honored to be here. I'm blessed to be in this position. My point is, I want to do this tomorrow, the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year. I want InfoWars to be here. But we need your support at InfoWarsStore.com in order for that to remain possible. So you see, Alex Jones skips vacation, works on vacation. Now it's the same thing with me. We can't take a break. I'm dealing with lawyers all day. I'm dealing with the feds all day. I'm getting harassed by the government all day. That's just what we do here. Now, we've got about 2,000 left. This is the best way to support us right now. We've got about 2,000 left. I'm a big fan of collectibles. I like nostalgia. This covers both of those grounds. We've got about 2,000 left of the latest edition of the InfoWars founding member coin. 2,000 left, the Tree of Liberty coin. About 2,000 left of this. Once they're sold out, they're gone, ladies and gentlemen. Go to InfoWarsStore.com to get your collectible coin. Not to mention all the great health supplements. The t-shirts are all now limited edition. We're selling them out till they're gone, and then they're gone, folks. InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.